Well, good morning. Are you excited to be here? I am. This is my favorite part of the week. I love when the gathering comes together and we get to open the Word of God together. If it's your first time with us, welcome. We are so glad that you're here with us and that you're taking time out of your weekend to hang with us. What we've been doing is we've been looking at some stories that Jesus told. And what we've said is, if you would just kind of relax and kind of think about sitting by a campfire, you're sitting there, the smoke is going in your eyes, and Jesus is telling you a story. Jesus was a masterful storyteller. He told many stories. One third of the things that are recorded from him are in this story form. So we're going to sit at the campfire, open the Word of God, look at one of the stories that Jesus told. Jesus told stories that were really based in the physical reality. They were based in this world, and yet they always had this spiritual point and purpose to them. And they brought the listeners to a crisis of decision. Jesus was telling these stories, he said, because he wanted to reveal something. He wanted to reveal this truth that had been around from the foundation of the world. And so today, if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. This story that we're going to be looking at today is really cool and explains some things, I believe, for everyone. For some of you, there was a moment in your life that you said yes to Jesus and you began to walk in the ways of Jesus. You began to process what that meant. You began to follow him. You began to look at his word and go, how do I live this thing out? There are times now where you look at the scripture and it just jumps out at you and you go, man, I want that in my life. And then you look in the mirror and you go, huh, that's not who I am. Why is that not who I am? Why is that not happening? And this story maybe will give you a little bit of an insight of what might be going on. If you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe someone bribed you to come to church, and that is totally okay with us. We're glad that you're here. And maybe they bribed you and they said, hey, you come to church and we'll take you out for lunch afterward. Make them pay, number one. And when you go to Culver's, order the big shake, right? But this passage, I think, will help you to understand some foundational things about Jesus, some foundational things about what's going on in your life. And as you move toward this idea of like who Jesus is and do I really want to say yes to Jesus or not, this passage will tell us that the openness of our hearts will determine the depth of God's work in our lives. We're going to be looking at the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. It's a parable of the dirt, basically. Last week I was talking with a lady. She said her and her husband were looking for a church, and they were kind of jumping from church to church, and they had tried out all of the Baptist churches in the area. If you didn't know this, we're a Baptist church. We're a Baptist church. And she said, you know, it's really interesting. Like, the preaching's a little different, the music's a little different. She then asked a really, really interesting question. She said, what type of church are you? Do you believe that the church is for the saints to be built up and sent out to witness, or is it for those seeking God? That's a really great question. Really great question. What she's asking is, who is the target audience on any given Sunday? On the gathering, what is it? Some churches will say, well, the gathering, it's for the believer, and we're there to worship God, to serve God, to grow spiritually, and that sounds good, and you can prove that in the Bible. And that's good, right? And then there'll be other churches that will say, we're gathered for the unchurched, and we tell people, you know, our church tells people to bring people out and bring a friend, and we'll do what we can do to introduce them to Jesus and have an engaging, relevant experience for them, and that sounds good too. Well, which one is it? When Jesus taught these stories, most often there is a large crowd that gathered around him. And if you were to ask Jesus, like, what were your stories? Who's your target audience? What were you doing? I think he would have a fairly clear answer. In the crowd, though, there was a diversity of people. There was a diversity that followed Jesus or ran around with Jesus or at least listened to his teaching. Some of the people there would be very spiritually curious. They would be going, I want to know who this Jesus is, and they were curious about it. Some of them were following Jesus around because they didn't trust Jesus, and they wanted to disprove Jesus. There are others who were, I think, just walking up, and they're like, why is there a big crowd around there? Is there free fish sticks? Let's go down there and get free lunch, maybe? And so they stumbled on to this. And so there's this diversity and variety of the crowd. And then there were some people who were just convinced who Jesus was. And they wanted to hear his words. They wanted to know what he said. So who was Jesus' target? Jesus' teachings always included everyone. But they were always very targeted. He had a target audience in mind. And in just a moment, we're going to look at this, and I think it'll reveal who his target was. In verse 1 of chapter 13 of Matthew, it says, that same day Jesus went out of the house, and he sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him, he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. And so, if you can imagine, Jesus is there, and he's sitting there, and then people just start to come. They start to gather around him, and he starts to feel the pressure of that. So he hops in a boat, and he goes out just a little bit so everyone could hear what he was going to say. But there, you have the curious there. You have the confused there. You have the people who are committed there. They're all gathering around Jesus, and he's going to tell them a story, a very simple story in the next few verses. And the story is a farming story. They're an agricultural society. So Jesus, he begins to tell a story about a farmer. And he says that there's a farmer that has a big bag of seeds and he's spreading, he's sowing these seeds. He's throwing them out. If you've been to Israel or in the Middle East, there's a few things that you will see there. One is the land is kind of terraced up. The other part is there's paths going all the way up. Another part is it's kind of rocky there also, and yet things do grow there. And so Jesus begins to tell a story that probably some of these people, as they were walking down there, saw this happening right before their eyes, right? There's a guy out there, and he throws some seed. And then some of the seed, it goes onto the pathway. And the pathway, these birds come and they eat it. They have a feast. Another one is he throws it out and it goes into these seeds go into the rocks. And it's really awesome that they grow really quickly. And yet, the sun comes and it scorches and it burns them out. And then there's a third one, he's throwing it out there and he's going along, the farmer is, and it grows. But there's also weeds growing at the same time. And this one, this plant, it doesn't produce any fruit. And then there's the one, the good soil one, the good dirt. And the good dirt, what happens is it produces, and it produces fruit 160, you know, times the size of the plant. And it's incredible, like, how this thing grows. And he tells this story to the people. And then he says this. Look at verse 9. He says, he who has ears, let him hear. And you go, like, what? These people would have known this story. This is a very simple story. What is Jesus talking about here? They would have been going, what? If I have ears, well, of course I have ears. I just heard your story. And it's a story that I've just seen when I was walking down here happen. I've seen this 100 times in my life, this story happening, playing out in my life. So what's the big deal? What are you trying to communicate, Jesus? Whoever has ears, let him hear. Keep in mind the audience. You have the curious, you have the convinced, and you have those who care less. Jesus teaches in a way that it's relevant for everyone, but it targets those who are hungry. Those who are hungry, those who want to hear, those who have ears. He evokes this idea of being hungry. And if you have ears, you need to understand this. You need to lean in on this. Here's a big idea of today. to the hungry, Jesus is life-changing. Let me say that again. To the hungry, Jesus is life-changing. Let's unpack this story just a little bit. There's this interesting exchange that happens right after he tells this story, right after he says, "He who has ears, let them hear." There's this interesting exchange with Jesus' disciples. And I'm going to be honest with you, this next exchange, if you don't lean in, it's a little bit confusing. It's a little bit complex. So you have to dial in for just a moment with me, because it looks like Jesus is telling a riddle, and Jesus is smarter than all of us, and you're like, why is he telling us this riddle now? Why is he telling the disciples this riddle? And it's kind of confusing. The disciples ask this question of him before the riddle happens. In verse 10, it says, "The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?'" Why do you speak to the people in parables? That's a totally legitimate question. Why does he tell stories? Why doesn't he just tell them the truth? Like, here's the truth. This is who I am. This is what happened. This is what's going to happen. And let me just tell you that truth. And then you can go off and you can live this way or not live this way. Why do you tell them these stories? That's what they're asking them. You know, it would be kind of like, just to get a sense of this, it would be like you have invited your neighbor to come to church like 25 times. And next week, they said, you know what? Next week, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, I will promise you, I will come with you. And you're really excited about this. You know they're going to come. You're going to meet them in the lobby. You're going to show them this place. And you're going to get them a nice cup of coffee and some donuts. And you're just going to be hospitable. And you're going to sit with them and sing with them. And the band's going to be awesome. And you're all excited about this. And so they come, and everything is going awesome, right? Everything, the band is great, like we're praising God together, and it's wonderful. And then Travis gets up, he's preaching next week, and he begins to just tell stories. And he tells a couple stories about his kids, and they're kind of cute, and they're little, and they're kind of funny. But you're like, what in the world? I've invited this person like 25. And then he's like, let me tell you about this new app I got on my phone. It's an app that if you click on it, you can go to Walmart and pull in after you order things, and they bring the food right out to you. It's amazing. And it truly is amazing, that app. So if you haven't tried that, you should try that. And then he says, okay, let's pray. And you're like, what just happened? Like 25 times, I got this. Finally, this person comes and he just tells stories. This is what the disciples are feeling, right? Just so you know, he's not going to do that. He is going to tell a story, but it's not going to be that. So be here. He is preaching next week. It's going to be awesome. There's going to be some gnashing of teeth and something like that is what I heard. So it'll be great. Bring your friends. So Jesus then, he gets this question. And in verse 11, he goes on. He says, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them." And you go, wait a second. That's not fair. I don't like that. What is he saying here? Like, why wouldn't they get it too? And he goes on, and he says, "Whoever has will be given more, and he will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." Again, doesn't seem fair. "This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving." And then he gives this answer in verse 15. He goes on and he says, "For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts in turn." And look at these next few words. "And I would heal them." Jesus is for all of them. Jesus is for all of them, and he wants to heal them, but their ears are plugged, their eyes are closed. Jesus is saying to those who genuinely are listening and sincerely seeking after God, he's going to reveal himself to them, and he's going to heal them. That's what he's telling them. It's not that God is playing favorites. This is my club, and I'm going to hide the truth from these guys. No, he says, if you have ears, you listen. My wife, she absolutely hates to fly. I love to fly. If there was a plane that went from my house on Bramer Road to here, I would take it every day. I absolutely love flying. There's nothing I like. Well, there's probably a few things I like more, but I do really enjoy flying. I love that point where you're on the tarmac and you're just getting ready to go, and the engines roar, and you start to go, and you know you're going somewhere in that moment, and it puts you back in the seat, and you lift off. I love that moment. I love it. My wife, on the other hand, absolutely hates it. And so we were flying. We had all our kids with us, and we were flying. We had flown down from Detroit down to Miami, and we were on the second leg of the trip. And so we had been in the Miami airport. We had now got onto the plane, and we were flying to Barbados. And we were sitting in the aisle, and so I have two kids to my left. I'm sitting in the aisle seat. She's sitting in the aisle seat, and two kids to her right. And I began, we're on the tarmac. We're ready to go. The engine begins. It's about to begin to roar at this point. And I began to tell her a story about our youngest son, Finley, in the airport. He does something, and it's hilarious. I won't go into it. It was really, really funny. And I began to share this story with her. And I get done, and I'm laughing as I'm telling this story. And this is her. And so in my mind, right away, I'm like, okay, what did I do? Right? Like, that's my first, like, I don't remember being offensive, but I could have been. That, you know, like, what did I do? So I'm like, isn't that funny? Nothing. And then I realize something. I hear this faint noise coming, and it's Pink, the artist Pink. And it's playing in headphones that she has on because she doesn't like the roar of the engine. She doesn't want to hear the roar of the engine. And so I'm telling this whole story. She can't hear a word I'm saying. Today, some of you have headphones on. Some of you, spiritually speaking, you see me talking. You see the word of God displayed up there, but you have headphones on. There are things that are going on, and you're not receptive to the things of God right now. So Jesus, he's saying, hey, if you're hungry, if you're seeking after me, if you want to understand, I'll heal you. I'll give this thing to you. If we jump down to verse 18, it says, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. And he begins to tell what this story means. Because remember, it's just this story that they've seen 100 times over. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on the rocky place is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what is sown. So we look at this, and what is Jesus telling us here? The work of God in our lives the work of God, it's connected to the openness of our hearts in here. There's a resistance that we have in our lives. There are rivals to the Word of God working in our hearts. We have rivalries to those things that God can do and change within our hearts. We understand rivalries. We know them from the sports world. Hancock and Houghton, football teams, they have the Copper Bowl, right? Who won the Copper Bowl this year? Anybody know? Hancock, I think, did, right? But there's a rivalry there, and that's a big deal. Northern Michigan against Michigan Tech in hockey. Big deal, right? Who won the games? Michigan Tech, right? 3-2, 3-2, and there's a nice fight at the end, right? That's why you go to watch hockey, or maybe that's why I go to watch hockey. Green Bay Packers against the Minnesota Vikings. It's a rivalry, right? How many of you guys remember when Brett Favre jumped ship, went over to the Vikings? Yeah, he went over to the Vikings, and it was like this really great thing, and he led them to the NFC Championship game against the Saints, and it was this wonderful moment, and you Green Bay Packer fans were bitter inside, and you were mad, and you were going, man, I don't like that guy. And then Brett Favre, he was brilliant all game, and then Brett Favre did what Brett Favre always did. He ran around, and he throws the ball to the other team, and they lose. And you Green Bay Packer fans were going, woo, woo, that's right, that's why you got him, right? Because there's a rivalry there. Jesus says there's rivalries to our hearts. These rivalries will resist the work of God in our hearts. We have to do business with these rivalries in order for God to do business with us. The first rivalry that Jesus talked about was the rivalry of apathy. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. This is the seed along the path. Remember who the audience is here. Who is he explaining this to? This is the disciples who didn't understand the passage, right? They didn't understand it. And he says, hey, if you don't understand, it's like the devil comes and snatches it away. So it's not just merely not understanding, but what did the disciples do? They're like, Jesus, what does this mean? They leaned in. They're trying to understand it. It's not just not understanding. It's not caring that you don't understand it. If that is you, the seeds will be, they'll be taken away. Those are those of us who are in that place. The headphones are on. They're canceling out the noise of the truth of the Word of God. And apathy is the rival to what God wants to do in your life. God cannot do a whole lot when we're full of apathy toward His Word. The next rival, though, is this. It's a rivalry of convenience. The seed falls on the rocky ground. It refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. They're excited. This is the word of God. It's for me. I'm excited. But since they have no roots, it doesn't go down at all. It only lasts for a very short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of what? The Word of God, because of what God had sown in them, because of this choice that they had made to follow the Word of God, they quickly fall away. Jesus is saying that when you follow Him and you begin to follow Him and His teaching, there's going to be resistance. There are going to be trials because of your faith, because of your choice. And he says these things will come against what he wants for you. And there will be a test of loyalty in this moment. Do I trust God or do I trust this other thing? Do I trust? It's inconvenient sometimes to follow God. But if your faith is only this deep, you're gonna go, well, that was good for a moment. It's more convenient to do this now over here. And you will fall away. And he says, beware of that. There's a third rival, and it's a rival of distraction. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. What is he saying? There is competition in your life. There's competition about not trusting God and his promises to the worries of life. And that's the reality. And we struggle through that. We like to pursue stuff sometimes more than we want to pursue Christ in our life. It's going, you know, I hear the word of God, but man, I really trust my money more than I trust what he says. That's why Jesus in the New Testament, this is so powerful. Money is so powerful that it makes this wonderful servant. It makes a horrible master. And Jesus talks about it more than he talks about heaven and hell combined, because this is so powerful and such a distraction to the word of God in our lives. It's a rival to our hearts. It's the headphones that go on and go, nope, not going to do that. At times, if I'm honest, and maybe if we're honest, all of us struggle with this stuff, don't we? Certain seasons in our life, if I'm honest, I'm apathetic toward the things of God. There are times where I follow, I'm like, man, that's so good. I love that. Oh, I'm going to do that. And then it becomes really difficult to do that. And I crave my comfort more than I crave the incarnational Christ in my life. There are times where worry sets into my life. There are times when money tries to capture my heart and I got to beat it off like with a stick, you know, fighting a timber wolf. You know, you're just, get out of here, because the wolf will get you, right? This is a warning passage for everyone in this room, whether you know Jesus or you don't know Jesus. What Jesus is saying here, the tone, I don't think is just condemning. I think it is, if you want the work of God, he wants to heal you. He wants to do these things in your life, but your heart needs to be open to it. You need to be understanding of where the difficulties will come. Some of you are unaware that you're apathetic toward God, and you go, man, I want the things of God in my life, but you're apathetic to the things of God in your life. Some of you do it when it's convenient, but other times you don't. And others, we're just distracted. We're just distracted. The next part talks about the good soil. It says, but the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. The good soil produces a crop. And I wish God said, okay, well, this is exactly what you need for the good soil. Because most of us sitting in here probably want the good soil. Like, you want the things of God. Even if you don't even know God and you're like, man, but if there's a God, you want the things of God, right? Like, because that's the good things, right? It doesn't just say you hear and understand, but remember, it's this, he's talking to the disciples, and they don't always understand, but they always lean in. They always go, God, tell me what, or Jesus, tell me what this means. I want to know this. They're seeking the truth. That's what the good soil is that we seek the truth. We seek the good soil. Jesus' audience was for those who were seeking, those who were trying to hear, those who were leaning in, not just to get the goods, but to really understand what it meant for the Word of God to take their hearts. My wife tells a story of her hunger for the Word of God. She just met Jesus. She's 18, 19 years old, and she begins to read the Gospels. And she gets to the point where it says that Jesus, he had a couple of loaves of bread and a few fish, and he fed 5,000. She calls her buddy up, and she goes, my Bible has a mistake in it. My Bible has a mistake in it. And she's like, what do you mean? Well, Jesus fed 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and these fish, and it doesn't make any sense. And she then goes on to explain, this is a miracle. It doesn't happen every day, but this is a miracle of Christ. But she was hungry. She leaned in. What does this mean? How does this work? I don't understand it totally. Today, some of you are hungry, but you know what? let's be honest. The Bible's big. Some of you are readers and you've read a book this thick this year. Most of you are probably not and have not read a book that thick. And you go, where do I start? Do I just kind of flip it open and 1 Samuel 14? That's not, no, I don't know. Yeah, you could do that, but that might get a little weird. Like, what do I do? How do I do this? Well, we have an idea for you. As a group, as the ecclesia, we want to hunger for the Word of God together. We want to understand it. We want to apply it. We want our hearts to be open to it. If you're open to the Word of God, if you're open to that being in your life, some of you, for the very first time, will open your Bibles this week and start to read the very words of God for you, for yourself. On your way out, we've created a little, it's called the Hunger Plan. If you're hungry, pick one of these up. It runs through really the life of Jesus. We always want to start with Jesus here, and we believe that that's where to start. It starts in the gospel. It's going to run you through a bunch of passages of scripture. We have these on the way out. We also have, this is the easier way, if you have your smartphone, pull it out. Text HUNGRY to 906-233-6611. And if you do that, you will get this thing immediately within about a second or two in your text box. And you'll have it for the week. And we will text you every day. We'll text you the passage of the day so you can have a reminder. If you're a person that just needs a reminder, do that. Want to do this together. Want to dine together on the Word of God. Want our hearts to be open to what God has for us. We want to take the headphones off that are canceling out the very voice of God, and we want to open that together. So if you would you do one of those things, and would you either go on your smartphone and do this, or would you just make the commitment to pick one of these up, or do both? You can have one of these too, and you can put it in your Bible and find the passage in there. We really believe that God wants to speak and to change and to heal us. That's what Jesus says. He wants to heal us. And if we will lean in, it says he wants to do that. He wants to heal us. And we want to do that together. Let's pray together. Father, we come. We're thankful for your word that guides us, that can guide us. But God, we admit at times we've been apathetic towards your word. We've lived it out in convenience. God, there are times where we just got distracted. We've all been guilty of that. And God, we just ask that today that we would just open, that we would dine on your word together, that we would know Jesus a little better in these next 2 weeks together as we come together to gather. God, that you would transform us, that you would heal our hearts, that you would begin to do a good work in us, that you would continue to do the good work that you've started in many of us. God, I pray for my heart that it would be open and receptive. God, there are times where I'm so arrogant and I say, God, I know that one already. I've read that already. I studied that already. And God, I'm so arrogant. And I'm sorry. God, help me to open your word and lean in and want to know and be so hungry for what you have to say to us. Help us all to have hearts that are open. And God, change us. Change us into the likeness of your son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.